We're joined by Brian Jacobson, Wells Fargo Asset Management multi-asset strategist. Brian, great to have you here with us. So let's just start with that infrastructure package. Could this be that next catalyst in the markets, pushing them to even higher highs, as we have seen record highs, fresh record highs in the Dow today? Looking at those bond yields, they are bouncing higher.
Thank you for having me. No, I think that actually a lot of this infrastructure package, as perhaps important as what it is, as far as, you know, so showing that bipartisanship does still exist in Washington, D.C., I don't think that it necessarily is going to move the needle too much on investor sentiment. And one of the big reasons is that this was fairly well telegraphed. If you think about the scale of the infrastructure package itself, it's only about $550 billion in new spending over about a decade. So you have to divide that by 10 to get the per year spending, which isn't really a lot to move the needle on expected growth. Now, what possibly could help sentiment, or maybe hurt it, kind of depending upon how things play out, is now what happens in terms of the reconciliation package, because now it tees up the possibility of that $3.5 trillion spending plan. And a big question is whether or not it's just going to be crammed through as far as on a single party basis, or if there will be some bipartisan support behind that.
Well, let's just take the flip side very quickly then, Brian, because obviously this did pass the Senate right now. And previously, when we heard headlines on the infrastructure package, we saw markets reacting incredibly positively to the news. However, it does still have to go to the House right now, where even though Democrats do have a majority, the fate of this package is really not at all certain. So let's just say that it fails in the House. What do you think the market reaction is going to be then? Because I think so many folks did anticipate on some level that the infrastructure bill would be injecting a bit of a sugar rush into the markets.
Yeah, and that's why I think that maybe this has already been priced into the market. And so it does set up the possibility of disappointment, that if it doesn't pass, so if it gets into the House and it just falls on deaf ears, it doesn't make it through in a timely way, then I think that investors might take a little bit of a kind of pause to think about, well, what is the future of infrastructure spending and how dirty will the fighting get over things like the budget and the debt ceiling and different issues like that. In that type of scenario, if we do see it fail, I would expect that we'd see a little bit of a reversal of what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, which would be that, you know, yields have moved higher on the 10-year Treasury, so we'd probably see that come back down, and that maybe equities would give back a little bit of some of the gains that they've given over the last few weeks.
Brian, I just want to switch gears here and talk now about something that you mentioned actually right at the top of your notes, which is inflation, and particularly fears about peak inflation, you say, may be peaking. I feel, however, I keep hearing some folks talk about the potential durability of some of those inflationary pressures, some folks talking about the fact that, frankly, anywhere you go, things are costing more money. Talk to us about what you see as some of those inflationary moves and a little bit more about what some of those worries about peak growth could actually mean.
Sure. Yeah. And so one of the things that I think that the market is really going to be wrestling with over the next few weeks, if not the next few months, is the idea of inflation and growth. That's what it typically wrestles with, right? But the idea of inflation maybe peaking, the numbers are coming out tomorrow for the Consumer Price Index. And I think the consensus is calling for around a 5.3% year-on-year increase. I think that it maybe could be a little bit higher than that, but then maybe begin to drift lower. And so you have a few things that are working there as far as the base effects, as far as where were prices last year. We're also seeing things, on the auto side, everybody I think has seen headlines about used car prices, about how that's contributing to inflationary pressures. Numbers have gotten a little bit of maybe the air taken out of the bubble that was formed with the used car prices there. And so maybe we could see some of the data after this next report begin to roll over. And with the Federal Reserve also talking about tapering, that they might try to tee that up. Who knows, maybe at the September, maybe at the November FOMC meeting, I think people are going to think, okay, inflation is high now, but it's not going to be persistently high. This is more just this increase in the price level and not necessarily a change in the trajectory of inflation, because the Fed isn't going to be doing these massive asset purchases forever, that it does have an expiration date.
Absolutely. And of course, so many folks talking about what will happen when the Fed decides to take that punch bowl away from the party. Before we let you go, Brian, right now, where are you seeing opportunity in the markets if you do want to put some fresh money to work?
Yeah, the way that we're looking at things and positioning our portfolios is more to look for relative value trades. When everything looks kind of highly valued, it's more about what's relatively less highly valued. And for us, it's actually about some of the areas, like let's say in the emerging markets. You look at Latin America, Middle East, and North Africa. We think from a valuation, longer-term positioning perspective, there's some attractive opportunities there. When it comes to on the fixed income side of things, it's a little bit harder to find things of value, but it's more in, say, the shorter term, higher yielding parts of the market. So a lower quality corporate debt that has a short time to maturity. So something like, say, 3 to 5 years. Instead of buying a 20-year bond, think about buying something closer to a 3 to 5 year security instead.
All right, Brian Jacobson, Wells Fargo Asset Management, multi-asset strategist. Thanks so much for joining us today.